Welcome to the Inside College Soccer Podcast, bringing together some of the best college soccer-related people to your earbuds, from coaches to players and beyond. So, thank you for tuning in. The Inside College Soccer Podcast is brought to you by Sports Recruiting USA, the college soccer experts. Now, enjoy the show.
Okay, here is Reese Canella from SRUSA with Inside College Soccer, and I have two guests here. If you want to introduce yourself.
Yeah, my name's Louis Rocco. I'm the head men's soccer coach at NCAA Division II Lake Erie College.
I'm Kieran Toland. I'm the assistant coach at Lake Erie College.
Nice. So you guys had a great season, obviously. Went to the Final Four. Probably first time in school history, right?
Yeah.
So I know you've had some success in the past, but this was probably the most success that you've had for, you know, small school Division II. So, you know, with that, what was the, you know, in a nutshell, what was the season like? How was it for you?
Yeah, I think the season for us was all over the map a little bit, and I think I say that because we had been to the Sweet 16 last year. You know, I thought we had returned a lot of the same guys. Thought we were going to be able to make another deep run. We made some improvements, brought some new guys in, and I thought, you know, going into the season, I think we thought it. I think our players thought it, but we thought this could be a year where something like a Final Four run was possible.
Okay.
You know, and I think we tested ourselves. We wanted to see where we were early on. So I know going into the season, I had scheduled U Indy as our first game, and thought that'd be a great measuring stick to see where they are, see how we are compared to them, and how we stack up. And it was a little bit of it was a crazy game. I think we went down 2-0, ended up coming back, tying the game 2-2, and that was kind of the highlight at the beginning of the season, because things changed pretty quickly after that, and we got a couple injuries, and just seemed to be lacking some confidence. And then started to lose games, and it was one of those things where I think we as a staff and our players were just kind of almost perplexed in a way of being like, what is happening? You know, we're supposed to be making this deep run. We're not playing that well. You know, we haven't found a rhythm. I know we had some guys playing summer soccer, so maybe a little bit of fatigue. Like I said, we got some injuries, and we just were not the same team. And I think a little bit of it was, like I said, because of injuries, and then we just had to find who we were and find what made us special last year and replicate that a little bit. So, you know, as it started to go and progress, once we got people back and healthy, I think we ended up taking a trip down to Nashville, Tennessee and playing Trevecca. They had beaten us previously earlier in the year at our place, and I know their coach reached out and was like, you guys are going to be good, you're going to be fine. It's going to click. It's just when it clicks, and unfortunately it clicked against them. And we ended up winning 5-0, and things just kind of took off for us. And like I said, we started the first half of the year, we went 1-6-2, finished the year 11-2-2, and essentially took us to the Final Four.
So I want to break that down a little bit, because, you know, obviously I've known you probably, I was thinking about this the other day, probably 7-8 years. You know, you was at Baldwin Wallace University, and then I coached after you there. And so, you know, we've followed a similar path. But, you know, with your run, and I spoke to you, I think, obviously before the season, and I spoke to you beginning of October. And I'm kind of looking at, you know, as people on the outside in, you know, you kind of look at the record and you're like, wow, you know, what's going on at Lake Erie? Because I know you as a coach, and I know you're a great coach. And so I know that there was something going on in the program. So let's break that, your run down. Because it is one of the more unbelievable runs, I think, just the way that you started and the way that you finished. What was August looking like? How did August look? And then, you know, and then we'll go through the months.
Yeah, I think this year was a little bit different in Division II. It's a festival year, so we actually got more time with our guys. They got to campus earlier. So there was a little bit of maybe just being in a new kind of preseason where we had, instead of having 2 weeks, it almost felt like we, or like a week without class, we actually had almost 2 weeks without class.
Okay.
And so we had more time to be with the guys, so we got to dive into probably a little bit more. But we thought, you know, hey, we have our guys, but it was just getting everybody there. It was getting everybody on the same page, making sure people were healthy. Because I think at the beginning of the year, we went to play St. Bonaventure, and we were missing a bunch of guys, whether they weren't in, they didn't have insurance, they were not cleared by our medical staff. So it was just the whole preseason was us still like trying to get everybody there, everybody on the field.
Yeah.
And that didn't happen actually for a long time, just because we kept running into issues. So, but I think our message from the beginning was pretty clear, and one of our players actually spoke up and talked about it, about how what has happened in the past, what happened last year, us winning the conference, winning the tournament, going to the national tournament, going to 16, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's what we're doing now, it's what we're doing in this moment. And I think there's a little part of our team that was like, oh, we're going to be fine. Mm. Like, we're going to win games, we'll be good. And I think August was a little bit of, it was happening, but you could kind of see we weren't at the same place we were. And I think some players were a little bit almost taken back by that, like, why are we not the same team we were back then? Like,
yeah.
I thought we'd be the same place. I thought we'd have, you know, the same kind of energy, the same type of commitment, the same type of, teamwork where we left off. And it just wasn't like quite clicking. But I also sat there and said, like, we weren't able to get everybody on the field.
Yeah.
Our goalkeeper's phenomenal, and he got in and kind of had an injury, and then he ended up, you know, getting COVID, so he had to miss some games.
Okay.
So it was like, even with him, we weren't able to get our team on the field.
Okay.
So it's just little things like that kind of happened. And like I said, we go. So August was kind of a weird time because we had more time to work with the guys, but we didn't get to work with everybody because it seemed to be there was always something kind of happening.
Okay. So it sounds like you weren't panicking though, because you had the experience, the players had the experience of the year before. So
I would say that was a big part of it, is as things, you know, as the season progressed, is I don't think we ever hit the panic button.
Right.
I think we, maybe behind closed doors, we were having some conversations about what do we need to do? Do we need to adjust? Do we need to change shape? Do we need to change players? Do we need to do something different? But I think it always, in my mind, we always just said, we're going to be able to do this.
Mm-hmm.
It's when are we going to be able to turn it around?
Yeah.
And when are we going to get everybody healthy? And so we just kept talking about just like remain calm, stay the course.
Okay.
I don't think, like, we didn't change shapes, we didn't change personnel, we just said we just got to get everybody back on the same page, healthy, and I think it'll all click at that time.
So it sounds like you had patience, which is something that we don't see as much in college players nowadays, because you've got freshmen that come in, maybe don't play, and they're like, all right, I'm leaving. But you just shown there that you had patience and you stuck with it, and you were able to, obviously, you know, I know September was rough for you.
Yeah.
So with that message of, you know, being patient, we're not changing personnel, we're not changing our formation, we're not changing the way we play, we're not holding these random meetings that we didn't used to hold, you know, you wasn't changing anything. How did you do in September? And then how did you still keep that message? Because going into October, you were losing. So that must have been one of the hardest months that you've maybe had as a coach.
Yeah, I think it was challenging, because I think we did start to question maybe ourselves, the team, of, you know, are we missing something? Are we, are we lacking some leadership? Are we lacking just commitment? Are we resting on? Do we have a little bit of a hangover from last year? And because we experienced so much success.
Yeah. Okay.
So, you know, I think for us it was, we continue to just talk about, like, what makes us special? What makes us unique? What makes us good? Can we really continue to hit on those things?
Yeah.
And not, like I said, hit the panic button.
Okay.
Like, you know, there's certain activities, certain things we believe in. And it was just sticking to our values.
Yeah.
And I think when things started to go wrong and we started to lose games, I think a big part of it for us was just continuing with the same message of we've got to defend better. You know, we've got to stick together. We've got to be a team. Like, we're going to get through this. And I think that was kind of the overall message that we kept coming with. When we started to get, I think one of the biggest things that happened for us was when we started to get healthy, we actually started to bring back older players and voices, some leadership started to occur. And we started to get players stepping up. I think we got players that almost, as we got to the end of September, almost started to recommit themselves to, like, going back to the little things. You know, and you could see almost a shift in the mentality of our guys. I think you could tell, you know, we sat down with our guys. You know, like I said, nothing out of the ordinary. We did some film review. We did some things and just talked about little things that I hope when people talk about our program that they mention, right, in terms of just being like, we want to be really ruthless when we defend. We want to be really hard to break down. We want to be a pain to play against. Right? So let's make sure that we're doing things that are going to be along those lines and not all of a sudden trying to change who we are or our identity. So I think that was a big part for us. And so when we started to see a shift, I think we also talked and kind of got to the point when we were backed into a corner and we basically said, we've got 9 games left. We have to win 7 of them to go to the conference tournament. And we were like, I think if we do that, we'll be in.
That's the challenge.
And that was it. And I think it was a little bit of like getting people healthy. I think it was a little bit of, I think how our team responds and how our guys are when they get challenged and they get pushed in that kind of a way. It was almost what they needed. And then I think, like I said, we went, we played, we got the big win against Trevec and Nazarene.
And this is end of September.
So we've gone a big trip down to Nashville, and it clicked. And I think, you know, just mentality from the team, there was a different feel in the air that night. And it clicked. And when it clicked big. And then it was...
You felt sorry for the opponent.
Like, we, I mean, we were just... We got a goal early, and... You know, and then we just kept our foot on the gas, and we just kept going, and we got, you know, I want to say it was 2-0 to 3-0 at half, came out in the second half, and we got 2 right away, and just kind of ended it. And I think that was really the start. And then once that happened, now all of a sudden we started to get this confidence back. And we started to get confidence. We started to prove to ourselves and to everybody else that we should be here. And I think some people maybe still looked at our record and looked at maybe some of the teams we lost to and was like, eh, they're not the same team they were last year. And then we'd play them, and I think everybody's like, they are.
They're showing up now.
I don't think it was surprising for us to see how it ended. It was just when it was going to click was going to be important. And I think, you know, I think we went on, like I said, the first half of the year, we were 1-6-2. And then the second half of the year, we're 11-2-2.
So we get into October. You've preached patience. You've got the experience. Your players have got experience. Experienced players are coming back. So now you're healthy. Now you've been patient. Now you've trusted, you know, your coaching, Kieran, your coaching, what you've done at the program. So you get into October and you go on a crazy run. And now people are probably like, I wish we played them in September, right? So you go into, you're in conference now. What did October look like? It must have been one of the more fun months in your career, right?
Yeah, I think it was. It was crazy because you sat there, and it was going on. You know, going away, and we're picking up a win. We're picking up a win, and all of a sudden, and Kieran could probably tell you because it drove him nuts. I'm like, I think we're gonna do this, and I'm like sitting there like trying to figure out all the math. Like, got my big whiteboard out. You know, I look like beautiful mind out there, like trying to do all this stuff. And I'm like, I think we're gonna pull this off. You know, and it just seemed to be the more with every game, it wasn't like we took a little step forward. It's like we took this huge step forward. And it was the confidence level within the guys. And I think by the time probably got to mid-October, it was almost as if our guys were like so confident in what we were going to do, we became unstoppable. And it was like whoever got in our way, it was just going to be it was like there was no...
They couldn't stop you.
They couldn't stop us, yeah. Like, you know, I think we played one opponent and we scored 3 goals in the first 5 minutes. And it was just like, okay. Wow. And it was just... Yeah. We were just at that point where we were so confident. Players knew their roles. Players knew what was expected of them. We had essentially dotted every I, crossed every T.
Yeah.
And now we could just let our guys go out and play. And everybody, like I said, knew what their role was.
Yeah.
And I think at that point, like I said, it was just you show up. Our guys would go out there, and like before the game even started, you knew we were gonna win.
Yeah,
and that was the biggest change, the biggest thing that happened in the month of October.
Nice, Kieran. I'll let you chime in. Obviously, you got less experience than Louis, just with age, and so you know he kind of was looking at the maths and he's saying, "I think we can make it." How did you feel in that? I mean, as a young coach, you can be a little bit more pessimistic or kind of cynical because you're like, you know, I haven't been here before, or you know, you're like, oh, I don't know, you know, you're maybe looking at September and how that went. You know, how did you feel in October?
I mean, looking back, and you go through the kind of 1-6-2 era as such, and you look at the games, a lot of them, the goals we were conceding, it's all kind of like individual errors, things like that. It was never a case of any team coming out and battering us the whole game. A lot of the games we were in them, individual errors led to goals and things like that. So it was just kind of, it was always just one step away from us.
Yeah.
And once everything started to click, that was obviously when we went on the run.
Yeah.
I don't think I ever doubted that we weren't going to make postseason, but there was a period where I kept saying to Lewis, do we need to change something? And that's probably the inexperience of me coming out and saying, maybe we do need to change something. Maybe we do need to do this, we do need to do that. And he's saying, no, stick by it. So I guess that was probably the only time where I was thinking maybe we can change something up to try and get the results.
Yep.
But yeah, as he said, like once we got the team that we knew we had, everyone playing, everyone confident, and it kind of steamrolled itself and just kept getting better and better.
Yeah, that's great. So, you know, that's October. We've gone through the first few months. I think there's a saying in football where October is for pretenders, November is for contenders. And not many people, and I don't know if people know this, you know, recruits, not many people get to play in November, regardless of division, right? Because now you're getting into conference tournaments and then you're going to the NCAA. So, you know, this is territory that not many coaches can talk about. So what was November like for you? You know, you had your conference tournament and then you've gone to the NCAAs. How was that for you?
I think going into the conference tournament, I felt we had a chance to win.
Yeah.
I think at that point, we didn't fear anybody, but we knew we had to take care of business. And I felt we won our first game, went into the second game.
Who was the first game against?
We played Finley.
Okay. So you'd seen him before?
Seen him before, walked in, and as I said, it was a game where we were very confident going into, and I think, you know, got on him early, got some goals, and then one led to two, led to three, and we were able to take care of that pretty easily. And then the next one is when we face Ashland, who had a really, really good year. You know, Nick Roberts, who's the head coach there, really turned the program around. And,
yes.
And they are very, very hard to play against. And, you know, they have a unique style, and it's very, very effective. And for us, like, we're getting opportunities, getting looks, but we just couldn't seem to get that, the goal we needed. It's like we get there, we get in the box, and the ball would just take a bounce it shouldn't, or you know, we hit it right to goalkeeper, or missed the final pass by just a couple of inches.
Okay.
So ended up losing there, and I think, you know, we go down, it's 1-0, and like I said, ended up losing, and at that moment it was, what's gonna happen?
Yeah.
And I think over the next couple of days was probably the biggest, I guess you could say, like, worrisome time for us, because it's like, are we gonna get to keep playing?
Yeah.
I think you know, our strength of schedule was good. I think we had great results. I think people looked at us and said, the way they're playing now, they should deserve an opportunity.
Yeah.
It's just whether or not we're going to be able to get selected and get into the tournament and put it all together.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're sitting there, and I think it was Monday night, rolls around. You know, we're trying to bring it up, and it was actually kind of a funny story where we're trying to watch it as a team. And we're struggling to get it up on the big screen. Whatever, it's not working. We can't get it up on the projector. And a couple of our guys find it on Instagram Live or Facebook Live or something like that. And so we finally get it up on the screen, and everybody on our team goes, all right, turn off your phones, put your phones down, like, let's watch this.
Yeah.
And we were on probably like a 2-minute delay from one to the other, and we got this guy named Thomas, who's a character.
Okay.
he's the team clown, makes everybody laugh. He didn't turn his phone off.
Oh, no.
So they're going through the whole thing. It's super quiet. They get to our region. I think they announced...
They announced the 10 seed.
Yeah, they announced, like, number one Saginaw or something. And all of a sudden, Tomas on our team starts cheering. And he's like, we're in, guys. We're in. And so everybody looked over at him. And it couldn't have been, like, 20 seconds later, our name gets called.
Yeah.
And everybody had already had that emotional high.
Yeah.
To now, like, oh, our name got called. Okay. Like,
that's cool.
Hey, like,
yeah.
And it kind of was very anticlimactic because Tomas had ruined it. But
yeah.
No, so I think we got in, and I knew we were going to have a tough draw. We were going to have to play Southern Nazarene, who had a very good season. And, you know, just never having played a team from their conference, we were like, okay, how are we going to match up? What's it really going to be like? But we also knew that if we were able to win, that we were going to have Saginaw.
Yeah.
Who's top five at the time. It's number one in the region for a reason.
Yep.
So we knew that was going to be a tough one. But, you know, when we first went in 2019 to the NCAA tournament, we lost. And essentially the second round was our first game, we got a bye. And everybody told me at that point, they were just like, it's your first trip. It's always the hardest.
Yeah.
Right? And it's just inexperience, like, moments really big. So I kind of felt when we went in and we were playing Southern Nazarene, it was their first trip, and I told our guys, like, we've been here, we've had this experience, we've been a part of this, we know what it's going to take. They've never been here.
Yeah.
The moment's going to be really big for them, so let's get on them early. And that's what happened. I think we got a goal early on, got another chance, and we're just able to get on them earlier.
Yeah.
As they, I think, got a slow start, and I think, you know, for them was a little bit of the moment was big.
Yeah.
And so we ended up winning 4-0, and then we had to play Saginaw, which was going to be a test. You know,
yeah,
we had played, they didn't, and so we went into the game. They got a great goal early on, and then we came back, and we're getting some opportunities, getting some looks, finally got it in the second half, 1-1, and then you could start to see last 20 minutes fatigue starts to set in.
Okay.
And guys, their legs are getting tired, cramping up.
Yeah.
And you could just see over in Saginaw, like, guys are fresh, they're ready to go. And that was really when our goalkeeper came up and performed.
Okay.
And he made some huge saves for us, kind of in that last 20 to keep us in the game. So much so that I remember the head coach from Northwood, Stevie, was sitting over there being like, who's this guy? Like, where did he come from? And but he was unbelievable for us down the stretch, the goalkeeper, and ended up keeping us in the game. It finished 1-1, going to overtime. You know, it's kind of a stalemate at that point. We go to penalties, and we miss our first two. And I believe they made their first two.
Okay.
And so I'm sitting there going, oh, man, and I'm just like, this is it.
It was
penalties.
A good run.
Yeah, I was like, you know, I wish I could keep going. And then, like, they miss one, and then it starts going. I actually turned to my assistant at one time, and I was like, what happens? Like, I completely lost track of where we were.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, what happens if Fabi makes it? And I turned and looked to him, and he's like, if Fabi makes it, we win. And I was like, really? Like, serious? So he hits it, and I'm sitting there because I don't believe it. And he goes running, our team goes running, and I was like, I can't believe this. Like, they ended up missing two, we missed our first two, and then we made the next three.
Okay.
and then they made their first two, and then I think they missed one. Goalkeeper made a save, and then they might have hit the post or something like that. I can't remember how it all went, but it was just an unbelievable time. And then I think we just had that, let's say, in that confidence. And I think at that point it was our guys just sat there and were kind of like, you know, we're playing with house money at this point. Like, let's just keep going. And ended up going to penalties the next game.
And what round's that?
That would have been the Sweet 16.
Sweet 16.
Go to penalties. Again, we go, it's 2-2. No, it's 1-1 at the end of regulation. Going to overtime, we score with about a minute to go in the first overtime. We're just like, got to ride out the second one.
Yeah.
And with about 30 seconds to go in the second overtime, one of our players takes down their player in the box. Penalty becomes 2-2. End up going to penalties. And we go to, I think, the sixth shooter. And once again, we missed our first penalty. I think the second guy who actually shot it, goalkeeper saved it, but they called him for leaving early.
Okay.
So he got to retake it, made it. And then it was, so we end up going to six shooter, make it, get to advance, play another day.
Yep.
Played Maryville, and you could just kind of feel it with our team of there was just this aura that we're not going to lose.
Yeah.
And so we go play Maryville, end up winning 1-0 in a very even game. And you could just see this, like I said, the excitement. It was actually funny. Our guys didn't know that we won a trophy.
No.
So our guys are running around the field. We're trying to call them all back for this trophy presentation. They gave us this this big sign, like a fake ticket that was like, oh, ticket punched.
Punch your ticket.
So our guys grabbed that, thinking that's a trophy. They're running around the whole field. Meanwhile, we're sitting back there with a big, you know, regional champions
trophy.
And they didn't even know that. And they, like, come back, and they're like, oh, we actually get this. Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, bring us back.
They missed the whole trophy celebration or presentation, I should say, and all that. And then it was, you know, on to play, you know, on to the Final Four.
Final Four.
We got to go to Seattle. It was a festival year. So it was a really cool, unique experience.
Yeah.
So all the Division II sports were there. So men's soccer, women's soccer.
Yep.
And then you have volleyball, cross-country, field hockey.
Okay.
So everybody had their national championship the same weekend.
So, yeah, we're at the end of November. I think we're going into December here, right? So you're playing over Thanksgiving, which, you know, is a time for a lot of people to go home, spend time with family. How was that period quickly? And then we'll go on to the Final Four.
So it's always a unique period because I don't want to sit there and tell people they can't go home. I think it's an important part where they get to go home, you know, be with their family, spend that time, maybe get a little bit of a break.
Yeah.
But it's always an awkward week where it's like guys are starting to check out because they're like, I got a flight. I got to go home.
Exactly.
I'm driving, whatever. So it's doing what we can. And, you know, starting to prep work and all that. And at the same time, you're also doing a lot of logistics stuff behind the scenes in terms of getting flights, hotels. So there's this very kind of mixed part that goes on with it. And so, you know, got guys back.
Yep.
And you could tell it was good. They got to go home. They got to get maybe get off their legs a little bit because it has been a very long, long season.
Okay, yeah. And so you go to the Final Four. Like you said, it's a festival year. What's that experience like? You know, what's the... I mean, not many... Again, you know, I think we have March Madness, right, in basketball. We have, you know, you've got, you know, now the college football playoffs. So we've got these big sports where they have the, you know, the celebration of Final Four.
Yeah.
But we don't... Yeah, and so we almost normalize it, right? Because the Final Four happens every year and we see it's not like the World Cup every 4 years. We almost normalize it. And I think a lot of big brands typically get into that, right? Especially when you talk about Division One. How is it for someone who I personally haven't been there, and there's going to be a lot of players that come and go and a lot of coaches that come and go who will not and will never go to a Final Four. Explain that experience for those that haven't been and who won't go.
I think it hit our guys how big it was when we got there.
Yeah.
And so we fly out, you get on the bus is taking you to the hotel, and when you get to the hotel, you were downtown Seattle, and everything in the hotel is just wrapped in NCAA logos, Final Four, festival year. I mean, you're at a really, really nice hotel, And I think at that moment is when our guys realized just how big it is.
Yeah.
And that, so we got in, I think, on a Tuesday. You know, we got in on a morning. They had a big, like, welcoming ceremony that evening. So we got to go, I think it's the Museum of Modern Pop Art or something like that. MoPop, I think is what they call it. But so it was going to that event as well. And I think that's, that whole first day is when our guys really realized the magnitude of what it was. And I think we talked about it, and I told him in practice, you know, I've been coaching for 20 years. This is my first Final Four.
Yeah.
And I said, in my 20 years, you know, I've been to the NCAA tournament four times, and obviously three of them have been with Lake Erie in the recent years, but not everybody's going to ever experience this.
Right.
So as we're going through it, just remember that occasionally stop, take a look around, just breathe it in, and enjoy the moment, because regardless of the outcome, we win, we lose, whatever, enjoy where you're at. And we talk a lot about it within our program of just being where your feet are and being present, and not just always looking beyond that. So I think that's when it hit our guys and just how big of a moment or an occasion it really was.
Okay, that's a great experience for you guys. It's something that not a lot of people get to experience. So we'll wrap it up with, you know, how the final game went. Obviously didn't go the way that you wanted, but you know, that final game, I think, against Franklin Pierce, right? How was that experience, and you know, what did you learn from that?
Yeah, so I think going into the game, we kind of knew, talked to some people, and knew they were going to be good.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people had referred to them as not just the best Division II team, but probably one of the best college teams they've ever seen. And, you know, they were very experienced, very, you know, technical players. They knew how to play the game. You could watch them, and I remember watching the games, almost the final, and then, you know, even watching our game afterwards, and you could tell their movements, their decision making, their ability to play under pressure. They were a very good team, and I think going into that, we knew that. We knew we're going to have to be at our very, very best, and I think for the first 30 minutes, and we were able to contain them. I think they were getting into our final third. I think we had, you know, maybe one or two opportunities that we probably needed to capitalize on, but they had a fair amount of the ball, more than we did, and you know, about 30 minutes into the game, they had a player who get drafted into MLS this year, and he showed why he got drafted.
Yeah.
And, and the ball came into him, and he flicked it over our right back's head and took on our center back and essentially got the ball across for a good individual goal.
But, yeah.
And ended up going into the locker room at halftime down 2-0. And our message to the guys was a lot of what we talked about all year. Be ourselves and continue to do things that got us here. And they're a good team, but I think we're giving them too much credit. We need to be a little bit more a little bit more intense, a little bit more, you know, aggressive, and stop treating them like they're royalty. And so came out in the second half, and we got a goal 5 minutes in to make it 2-1. And I think at that moment in time, in my head, I started to think, like, we can do this. And then 60 seconds later, they scored to make it 3-1.
Okay.
And at that moment in time, you could see they flexed their muscles and showed what they were capable of. And I think now we're starting to chase the game a little bit. And we said there's no point in us sitting back trying to keep it close. We got to go for it.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't come all this way to play close.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted to win. And so we started to try to pressure higher. We started to sell out a little bit more. We went for it. We opened ourselves up, conceded a couple more, but we're able to get one back. And ultimately, you know, lost the game.
Yep.
But I think, you know, as crazy as it sounds, we were able to put 2-1 against them, which I think they only conceded 7 goals all year. So, in a strange way, kind of a small victory. But, you know, for us, I think it was good. But I think they did show why they won the national championship.
Yeah. Okay. So, I think lastly and quickly, if you had a message for recruits, you know, ones that want to play in college, and even players in college right now, what would be your message based on the season? I'll start with you, Louis, and then Kieran, you can go next.
So I think for me, when we're talking about it, your college soccer is an experience. So it's always about finding out what kind of experience you want to have and finding the right place that's going to give you that experience. And being realistic about what the experience is. Everybody wants to win. Everybody wants to win national championships. But very few are going to get that opportunity to do so. So right. If you think you're at that caliber and you think you win a national championship and you think you can do that, then great, there's places for that. But you also have to be realistic. But at the end of the day, regardless of what happens on the field, the things you're going to talk about further down the line are going to be the stories you tell with your friends, the stupid things you guys did, the things that occurred in practice that are, funny moments. Yeah. You're going to talk about, big upsets, things like that. But in reality, it's going to be all the little things that occurred along the way.
Yeah,
and that's what you're going to remember, and the friendships that you had, and those are the things you're going to take with you. Talking about our Final Four run is going to be great, but I'm hoping that our guys, at the end of the day, they're able to talk about that at each other's weddings, or when they're older, or they can remember that experience they had because they're still friends.
Yeah, nice. Thank you, Kieran.
Yeah, I think just kind of repeating what Louis said, if you're looking at the soccer aspect, like just being realistic and not really throwing anything away. There's this concept right now of Division One or nothing, which it's really not the way you should be going about it as a recruit. So in terms of that, just being realistic and stuff, but again, kind of just repeating Lou again, you want to remember your college life until you grow old. I know for me personally, like this past summer, I just went to my mate's wedding from college, who was a good friend of mine, and I've got plenty more coming up. So
of course,
it's all those little things that you'll go to the weddings and you'll talk about all the things you did when you were at college and things like that. So it's about finding the right fit for you, and soccer is obviously a big part of that, but the other part is finding the right college that you feel like you fit in there, and you'll hopefully enjoy your time there as well. So. Well,
perfect. Thanks for spending time with us. That was Lake Erie College men's soccer staff. Again, thanks very much, and good luck for the recruiting season and next season and seasons beyond. Thank you.
Thanks.